Welcome back to the Sites On Podcast with Luciano and Alex. Do you want to gain financial freedom? Do you want to live that dream of a debt-free life? Do you want to maximize your financial potential? We are here today to tell that you can do it now. You do not have to wait. Now is the time to take care of your finances. By putting into place the key habits that we talk about today, you become successful and become the true individual that you want to be in the future.
Yes. And who are we targeting in this? We're really targeting those who are struggling with their finances, have major debt, or maybe you haven't even thought about your finances. You're young like us and you're not even like planning for emergency savings or investing or have any idea about money at all. And you haven't really done anything. Maybe you've been working and you just spend and you work and spend. Like, we're here to kind of talk about savings and actually like building a future with your money, learning financial literacy. And that's why we're here today.
Definitely. That's why we're here today. But first, let's look at some background and background history of this situation. So financial debt, what is it? And how did this come towards today? We go back into the 19th century. And when we look at this financial debt, it's basically something that is tied to you over your whole life because it's a written statement on this piece of plaque. And if you're into any debt to someone, let's say in old times, slavery times, then you have to pay that debt off in servitude and be basically attached to that person your whole life. And when you do that in that sense, it's very, very jail locking. You're always tied to that person in slavery. Yeah. As you go throughout your life.
Well, back in the day, you know how they got most of the Europeans over here was indentured servants. You'd come over here, you'd work on a farm, and you owed that debt to work on that farm for so long until you were released, and then you could do whatever you wanted.
Yeah, and that sense of servitude is very scary. If I had that today, it would be such a bad thing because so many people are in debt today, and if you were in that situation where you had to be in servitude to another person for so many years, and it's just a simple amount of debt, your life is basically over because those amounts of lives you're dedicating to another person. Now, as we go through into the 20th century, debt has become something of a, it's very nice to have. It's like a thing that people don't really think about too much because debt really isn't looked down upon as much in the 19th and 20th century. We look at the advent of national banks, and this is when the national government takes into account how much they spend. And the national bank, they can do things with the money more than what a decentralized government can do. They can spend it as much as they want. They can put into place federal spending that furthers the government's wants, but actually puts the people behind in debt. And that concept of debt made it very normal for people to spend so much because the federal government is spending so much on what they're spending. Why not we can now we as a society can take back what we want and spend as much as we want and don't think about it in the future. And that culture of debt has furthered this into the technology era. We have all of this new online shopping schemes, credit cards, loans, all these new ways of getting into debt. This is how we are getting into a train that's going off a cliff in today's society.
Yeah, these companies and banks, they really would love to just throw you in debt. And the main reason is because they'll eventually start charging you interest, right? As we all know. And most people won't be able to pay that back. And the banks know that. And you're basically now in slavery to these banks, these companies that are going to keep you there forever because they can continuously make money off you just not being able to pay it back.
Exactly. It's essentially slavery. Like you said, it's the transfer of slavery from another person to those banks, to those people that loan you money, to other entities and online shopping. An online shopping scheme, you are basically transferring that slavery to another person to that online shopping scheme. So this new society is transferring what we have once seen as a indentured servitude over multiple years to one person into a financial servitude to many companies, to many subscription services, to many different outlets, Amazon, all these things. You're basically transferring that servitude over to those companies.
Yeah.
So debt has basically infiltrated American society because it satisfies our desires. We can get these quick things that gratify our own wants, and we can just buy them now and don't worry about paying them off in the future. But when you look at it and at a digital society, we can analyze what we find as online payments. So how have online payments, Alex, really furthered debt today?
I mean, I think they've furthered it in that, like, you can do multiple payments, and I've thought about this, like, when we're making this episode, all these times when you try to purchase items, they're like, well, do you want to do multi-payments, especially for something more like tech and stuff that's more expensive? And so let's say you pick that, and then let's say you pick another thing that costs a lot of money, and you do a multi-payment. Well, eventually you have all these multi-payments that you're paying off all these different things over time, and you don't realize, like, oh, you don't have any money for the future because you're making payments on this stuff. You could have just paid out all at once. I definitely would never think that anyone should, especially when TVs, or if you don't have the money for that kind of, like, TVs, tech, different things that cost more money, do not do these multi-payments. Don't do payments on TVs. Don't do payments on AirPods, you know? Like, the online shopping has really, like, everyone just clicks now. It's so much easier for our dopamine to go click, buy, it comes to your door the next day, and then you do the same thing again, and you don't even realize, like, all the money that you're spending, you know?
Having everything everywhere is totally hard.
Having the stores at your fingertips, you know, it's just like, it's dangerous. I mean, we all get in those times, especially around the Christmas time. Buy. You know, your birthday time, buy. I got all this money, buy. I mean, don't always have to always buy. We can save some of that nice birthday money. That's what I like to do. I know we all want to spend because that's what we think about when we get money, right? It's to spend it. But
exactly. You have all these options, right? You have this online shopping thing that, like, for example, the Amazon app, you can just go onto your phone, get that there. You have these online mobile apps for Grubhub.
Yeah, all the fast food.
All these fast food restaurant things. And then you have all these other consumer goods, like even subscription service on your phone. Everywhere, you just click a button into your bank account, and then that's how they get you. That's how all these new ways, all these branches out, they made all these ways just to extract it from your bank account. Once it's extracted from your bank account, you're basically done because all that money is already gone out and plays to your dopamine, like you said. And how are you gonna solve that? You really can't, because you can't go back to get what you paid them in the past.
And so, these, especially like these Chinese companies, like when it comes to like Temu and Shein, they make it like a lottery system. You go in there. I don't know if you been on any of these websites. Yep. Let's say Temu, I recently went on it because it said I'd get something for free. And I was just curious. I wasn't going to actually buy it, but or get whatever they were giving me for free. But so you do this spin thing, and it spins to say, oh, you earned a free item. Oh, you earned another free item. And then, like, it's like, oh, you got 50% off. Oh, and it just, like, it's just trying to give you great deal after great deal. And in the end, like, to get those two free items, you have to spend $70. After all this, it was like, you got to click on enough to get $45 of total stuff. And I was just doing it, see, and then to get these two free items is going to cost me $70. Like, and people do this. People are like, oh, I got two free items. And it's like, this stuff is made so crappily. I would hope nobody actually ever buys this stuff off. Like, I mean, I bought stuff off Shein and Temu, but like, when it's like that deal thing, I'm never spending like $70 on those websites. I maybe spend max like 10 or 20 when I need something quick and fast that will go with my outfit, but never 70.
You know? And you're really just spending to get those prizes, but you're just spending more than you
even came in to spend.
Yeah. Came in to spend, and you're buying things that you don't need. These things will be in your house for how many years, and you're not going to touch them at all.
And they're the worst quality if we're talking like Shein, Temu type stuff. It's the worst quality you'll ever see. It's like Dollar Tree, Dollar Store type quality.
Basically, quantity over quality. You're not paying for anything that's valuable, intrinsically valuable. There might be a couple things that you can put here on, like, very, like, useful things, but majority of the things are not going to be useful in the long term.
Yeah.
But it gets to our first problem today. The first problem with this technological society is that it makes it so easy to spend our money. I mean, not long ago, the only forms of current payment were cash and checks. These things, you had to go to the store, you had to go pull out the cash, and then you had to actually think, do I want to spend this material good on this commodity? And it's so hard to do that in a sense, because it's a physical transaction.
Yeah, I know, like with me, we just have Apple Pay now, and it's so much easier on my brain to just double tap on my power button than to actually pull out cash. Like, I don't think about it much. The stress inside of me, like, oh my gosh, I'm spending money, because when I was younger and I was working, I used to get so panicked when I was like, had to pull even my cards, like pull them out, be like, oh man, I just lost $20. And I guess this is when I still had a debit card. Now that I have a credit card, I feel like, oh well, I'll pay it off next month. And that's what they want you to feel, is like, oh well, you don't have to pay for it right now, or oh, like, you got a little bit of time, you know. And especially with this Apple Pay now stuff, like, now you don't even think about it. Oh, I just put my phone up there now, I'm not even thinking about my cards. So, like, they really make you feel like, oh, it's all going to be okay.
It's all good. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just your phone.
You just tap your phone, even though they already took the money out.
Because you don't see that transfer of money. You don't see it coming out of anywhere.
Yeah, your brain just resonates. It's all virtual. It's your phone, you know. Like, you don't think about it as much.
Yeah, and it just reduces the attachment to money, and you don't think about where that money is. And then when you get home and you see that charge from your bank account, then you realize.
Yeah, when you get those notifications on your phone, you're like, oh, how much money did I spend? Oh, $20 here. Oh, yeah, I had to get gas. That was $30. Oh, yeah, we had to go get ice cream. That was another $15. Oh, yeah, we had to get our neighbors a gift. Oh, and it's just like, oh, my gosh. Spent over $200 today, you know?
Yeah. And, like you don't realize it in the moment, but when you get home, you're like, oh, I spent this much. Oh,
how much was my budget?
And then you're like, oh, okay, that's fine. And then the next day you do the same thing over again. You might see a thing and then you impulse buy it because it's so easy. Mm-hmm. And even one more thing about cash is that you have to go to the ATM every time to get it out of the bank. And that alone will put a lot of people out of it. Like, they're taking this much money out of their bank account, and then it's so hard to take it out, because this physical sense, you're taking physical money out, then they get so scared.
Yeah, it's true. Very true.
So bottom line is, like, credit cards, they just take the physical sense out of it. So given this problem, Alex, how do we solve it?
I think it really comes down to your maturity. When we were talking about this before the episode, if you have a hard time, like, paying off your stuff, or not paying it off, I would recommend to, like, and I'm not a financial advisor, but maybe consider canceling your card. If you have a hard time, it's causing you to have lots of debt, you're impulse buying a lot more, like, and you don't think you're mature enough, you shouldn't have one. Save yourself the trouble, save yourself the massive debt, cancel your credit card. What do you think about my solution, or do you have any other solutions?
Yeah, I would straight up cancel it, and don't even get one until you're financially able to. Set a goal, set a limit that you want to get to, and then get a credit card. Don't even think about getting it now, because it will drain your bank account. Because there's a thing that there is no good man on this earth that can truly master discipline. There's always something that you're going to slide on. Money is one of them, so don't even take the chance. Make that goal. If it's $1,000, $1,000. I would even say $10,000 before you get a credit card. And then even if you have $10,000, go a step further. Put limits on that each month, and don't even touch the credit card until
the next month. You should have some savings before you have a credit card. There's no point in having a credit card if you don't have any savings. If you have no money in your bank account and you have a credit card, please get rid of it, because you need to have some money for a credit card, right? You need to be able to pay off what you spend. So,
yeah, and don't use mobile apps at all. I mean, for now at least, because when you're first starting up, you do not want to get into the habit of spending every day, because those mobile apps make it so easy. Deleting them, getting them off their phone, out of sight, out of mind, will take it out of your mind.
Yeah, I mean, these companies do that on purpose to make you get the apps, right? Because they make their website kind of crap, but their app works perfectly right. So that way you can just go through and makes it easy, saves all your information. I mean, the websites can do that too, but you know what I'm kind of saying. Mm-hmm. And then they can also send you notifications. Why don't you get the app? Then you'll get 15% off if you use the app. Oh, but then we're going to send you notifications of next week when we got 20% off and 50% off. But you got to buy it with this product as well. You know, these companies love to use apps because they can send you notifications all day long.
Yeah. And think about it. If you delete those apps, you'll gain so much more time. I mean, those apps itself, those notifications, they waste your time in the day. And if you take that over a year, the time wasted on those apps, that could make you so much money if you spend it on something else. So deleting apps not only saves you time, saves you money as well.
Yeah.
The next problem about this society of debt is basically, what do you put your money into? Do you have a budget at all? Is that the question? And if you do have a budget, what are you spending it on? So Alex, what is the most important thing that you put in your budget today?
So my most important things, like, I'll just go through my budget. So I make about $1,000 a month. So I have a car payment right now. So I'm putting about, you know, 200, let's estimate 200 for the car payment. And then I'm investing 200 myself into investments, like index funds and different things. And then what else? That leaves me with about 500 left to do whatever I want, but I put some of it, then I would split it even more. So 200 of it towards my savings, right? Like extended savings of just saving. And then the other 200, I'm going to be able to do whatever I want with it. And it kind of also goes into gas when I say whatever I want with it, I guess. Like, I also got to save up for gas. I buy gas about once a week. So it's about $30. So 4 weeks, 4 times 3 is 12. So I'm spending about $120 on gas a month. So that leaves me even less money to do with what I want for fun, but at least I have it all budgeted out. Okay, this is where it's all going to go. This is how much I have to spend. This is how much I can save, you know?
Right.
So.
And I like that because you focus on the needs first. That's the number one thing. If you're going to get out of debt, focus on the needs. Get those out of the way. Whatever you have left, smart thing is to always put in the savings. But if you have that budget thing, then go out and take some and spend it on something you want.
Yeah, I mean, and like recently I got a car payment. I had a cash car at the time, and now I'm paying a car payment, and I lowered my investments a little bit to, you know, sometimes you change things around just a little bit. It was only by like $50, but like I'm trying to make it work. Sometimes you got to mess with your budget to make it all work, and it's all up to the individual how they make it work. So
exactly, we had a graph here. It shows that you should spend at least 50% on your needs. And then 20% you should put into savings.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a guideline. 10% of your whole budget needs to be in emergency savings.
And older people probably know this rule. It's called the 50-30-20 rule. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Am I right? So.
Yeah. This emergency savings is very important. Like, I can't stress this enough. If you don't have emergency savings, how are you going to pay for anything that might come in your life that is drastic?
Yeah.
Losing a job. Breaking a car.
Having a medical, you know, a medical emergency, like there are so many things when it comes to needing that emergency savings when we go into this. Like I was talking about it with Lucy before, but it is the most important. You don't think about it, us as young people, like, oh, what emergency is going to happen? But so many things. You can be in the hospital. I mean, my senior year of high school, I'd already, you know, out of high school and I had this emergency problem. It cost like so much money because I was in the hospital, like hundreds of thousands of dollars for the amount of time I was right in the hospital. Imagine, now obviously I'm not saying my emergency fund would help. Been much, but it could have helped. Let's say if I was on my own, let's say I already had $10,000 saved up for emergency, that could have helped to start paying off those payments of what I got from the hospital. Because there's going to be times in our lives where we don't have the money, but if we already have an emergency fund to maybe start helping to pay for the other bills while we start paying off now this medical bill and different things, you just always want to have an emergency fund because we don't know what's going to happen the next day in our life or the next 6 months or the next year that could be so bad that we need to have that emergency fund ready to go.
Yeah.
It's kind of like having a survival kit with you at all times, you know, like when you're out in the forest or camping.
Yeah. Just to give you an idea of the basic emergency savings that you have, for a car repair, you should have at least $800 just stacked away. Because a regular car repair, let's say take your car, the Lexus,
yeah.
You had a bumper that you had to fix. How much was it?
With the insurance and everything, I think it was like... thousand, something.
Thousand. Like that. So that's on the high end, but this is a very important thing, because if your car breaks down, how are you going to get to work? How are you going to save up for that job? You can't. You can't get to work, and you can't get that payment for that day. House maintenance, very important to have at least $250 for a, let's say, a sink repair or a garage repair or a, let's say, a refrigerator repair. So these things are very important. Medical emergency, at least $2,000. This is going to cover that big first thing. Like Alex said, he had to have $100,000 in spending. So this little thing will help you get out of that in the short run.
Or it's definitely start you getting on that run of those payments that are going to pretty soon be coming in because you've been in the hospital. Now, thankfully, I went to a hospital that my mom worked for, so it all was covered, thankfully. But thankfully. I was just, God bless, pretty much, that was able to happen, because I wouldn't want anybody to have to pay the amount that was, you know, needed. It was a ton, so.
Yeah. For family emergencies, you need to have $1,000 and a broken laptop, $750. That's basically,
I mean, let's just say if any of this stuff bottom line is irreparable, it's going to cost you even more. So broken fridge, broken car that doesn't run anymore, you know, you're going to have to get it towed. There's just so many things that you'd rather just have some $10,000 saved up. And it may take you years to save up $10,000, but at least you already have it being built. Even if it's just $100 a month going towards your internal savings, like, still better than nothing. So
yeah, and even say at least 3 to 6 months worth of saving that you could live without having a job or doing anything.
Yeah, especially in this economy, you know how hard it is to even get simple jobs that, like, you definitely want some savings for when the times get tough in our economy, that you have money to rely on that can keep you afloat for a little bit while you look for a new job.
Yeah, for sure. Now the next problem I see with today's society is impulse bias. I know we talked about this earlier, but I want to get into the psychology of impulse bias. And when you think about your mind, it's basically dopamine, like Alex said at the beginning. You click on that button, it comes to your door, you get that instant gratification. That instant gratification right there is something that is intrinsic to human mind, because at the early days, we always wanted to get that bite of food. We always looked at for that next bite of food, and if we could get that bite of food from a bison, a buffalo, we would get that instant gratification. We go look out for more. That's basically anything in the human body. If we can get something that we enjoy so much, so easily, that we even click it with a button, then that is going to be something that we do all the time. And I'd like to get your perspective, Alex. Like, how detrimental can impulse buying be?
I mean, we know from, like, I'll just start with that one statistic, like, the average person has an impulse buy of, like, almost $300 a month. I think it's $281. But, I mean, I can't imagine $300 on things you just randomly thought to buy that throughout that month. I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, I had an impulse buy just yesterday. I was hungry, and I didn't feel like, I had a lot of work to do last night, so I bought something from Whataburger, but then I realized I had some food at home. That was an impulse buy. I didn't need that burger, but I was like, impulsively, this sounds really good right now, so I'm going to get it, but I didn't need it, you know, type of deal. And I know we talked about, like, last episode of, like, not buying fast food. I was being lazy. I'll admit it to it, and I just wanted that impulse buy. Or let's say there's a game on sale, impulse buy. You're like, and I don't even have time to play it, but I bought it because it was on sale. I'm impulse buying. Or there's something at the store, like, these little heaters that for your hands because it's getting cold now. Yes, that was kind of more of a, like, need. I would love to be able to, like, go outside when I'm going on walks and hold these little heaters. But impulse buy again. I didn't need them. I could have put on some gloves. I have gloves at home, but I was like, nah, I want these heaters. I don't need these things, but I just want them, and I'm impulse buying them instead of just going like, eh, I could save the money, right? Like, it's super bad. Like, I feel like most of us could probably be saving so much more money if we didn't always buy things automatically instead of thinking about them, looking into reviews, seeing, do I really need it? How much is this going to change? You know, and I know we all live our lives. We don't have time to think 100% of the time about everything we buy, but there's a lot. We're spending almost $300, the average American. We definitely have some time before we can purchase them, especially that. I don't think I impulse buy that much. I spent maybe like $50 of me as impulse buys, but even for me, that I feel like is high.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And just to make it driven down, when you take the calculation, if you do $300 per month, that's the average, and you multiply it over a year, that's going to be $3,600. And over 10 years, you're going to spend $36,000. Imagine that money right there going into something productive, going into your future goals, going into something that would create value in the future. So, for example, something that's very easy to do, very intuitive, that makes you passive income over time, is investing in stocks.
Yeah.
And let's just say you go into the mutual fund, and this is a way that you can invest over time without putting too much risk in. You invest that $3,600 a year into an index fund. And index funds get about 6.37% of return for the S&P 500 per year. Mm-hmm. Over the course of 10 years, you turn that $36,000 into $50,000 into your bank account. Imagine what you can do with $50,000 in the future. In the future 10 years, yourself right now, Alex, what could you do with $50,000?
Oh, I could buy a car. I could put a down payment on a house. I mean,
pay off all your college debt.
I could pay off all the college debt, you know, pay off all the debts if I had any. Again, it's a great down payment on the house. Maybe you need a car. You can almost buy two small cars with like two Corollas for $50,000. You know, there's so, you can buy land.
Exactly.
I mean, there's so much.
There's so much there.
You can do. I mean, I like over just spending $3,000 a year, you know, you can invest it in the other things.
Yeah, $36,000 in the hole, and you have all these possessions in your house that do nothing for you. Or you have $50,000 saved up in your bank account and you can use it later. That right there is the concept of holding off that thing, that impulse buy, and planning. Like you, when you impulse buy, you don't plan for it at all.
And it can, the dangerous part is it can become repetitive, like with Starbucks. And I know Starbucks has caffeine, which can be known to be addictive. But when you, let's say I impulse buy at Starbucks and I really like it, and I keep buying it and keep buying it, instead of like actually learning, okay, I really like this one product at Starbucks, how do I make this at home for cheaper, and I just continuously keep buying it, that becomes dangerous because you're spending so much more extra money when you could have figured out how do I do this on my own, and then how do I, you know, like start to create this product better for myself so I don't have to spend what the price is at Starbucks.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you find that cheaper price, you feel much better because you get the same quality, even better because you do it personalized, and then you get that feeling, oh, I saved money and I did it as better, as good, as quality as those brand-name stores.
People are lazy. That's where we're getting this laziness, is that people don't want to. They like that gratification. They like that feeling, oh, it's Starbucks, oh, it's quality. It's not. You're just lying to yourself realistically. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, it would take time. Like, realistically, it takes the same amount of time to drive to Starbucks, do all this, when you could have just made it yourself all there at home. Kind of like we were talking about last episode. It really takes about the same amount of time.
Even more to wait in that line and then make your decision on the impulse buy and then travel back to your work.
And sometimes maybe the Starbucks is backed up. Now you're waiting in line. There's something wrong with the machine inside. You know, it's not going to be the same amount of wait every time at Starbucks. Sometimes you wait longer. Sometimes you're not. Are you going to take that risk, I guess, is what I'm saying. You know.
Mm-hmm. At home, you can also, you always know how much time it's going
to
make.
Yeah, circumstances. Need. You know all the circumstances of how you got to get ready, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's crazy, but like there are ways to save money. You just have to stop being lazy and actually start using them and investing money. There's tons.
Yeah. If everybody put all their impulse buys into something like an investment fund, the whole world would be rich. I wouldn't even have to be talking right now.
Yeah.
Impulse buying is the one thing that kills your future. If I could put one thing on the point that kills your future, it's impulse buying, because that really ruins your momentum for saving. That really does not help your finances in the future.
Yeah, it definitely, because impulse buys aren't part of your budget, right? I mean, we're really harping on impulses, but like it doesn't go in your budget at all, so you're really like, it actually just should be a whole another part of like your budget when you think about it, because like, oh, well, how much am I going to randomly, you know, buy without thinking about it? And that, it hurts it, right? Because now it's not part of the plan. You spent over, I mean, there's a huge statistic, I think it was like 83% of people go over their budget every month, and that's probably their impulse buying.
Mm-hmm. No, it's unplanned buys that you don't know, and then you realize, where did this thing come from?
Yeah.
It came from you.
And it's that, by the way, I think it's from Capital One, if you want to look it up, about the 83% of people, Capital One.
Yeah. The next problem is going to be assets versus liabilities. We often mistake what is valuable and what is not valuable. So this problem here is we tend to buy things that depreciate over time versus things that appreciate over time. So the example that I had earlier was mutual funds. They increase in value over time and they create value in your sleep every single day. This value doesn't depreciate, it doesn't go away. You take this over so much time. And I like your thought on that, Alex. What are some things that we mistake and what are good examples of real assets that we can take home?
So are we talking about like the wants and needs again? Is that what you're going into? Of like there's, so for asset liability, let's think of like the liabilities, especially cars. Like you can buy a really good asset. Now I'm going to be a little bit like biased. Japanese cars, it's a really good asset. It's going to last a long time. Super reliable. Really good quality. It's going to last.
Making your money's worth.
It's going to last a long time. It's going to have really good resale value when you resell. You look at Japanese cars, except for the like Nissan Mitsubishi, it's going to resell for really well. Lexus, Toyota, Mazda, Honda, really going to sell well afterwards in a couple of years. But when you look at something like BMW, you can find BMWs for $10,000, $5,000. They're all over the place, and especially the newer ones too. Like it's a, you know, a liability because they break down all the time. If you can't afford the maintenance on a BMW, it's going to break down. You take to shop, you're going to be in there all the time. And it's all about the luxury. That's why you're buying a BMW. You buy it for luxury. Why do you buy Japanese cars? Because it's reliable and it's quality. Not saying that BMWs don't have quality stuff and it's luxurious. It is. But it's a complete liability because these cars will break down. German cars are known for breaking down over time. Especially newer BMWs and Mercedes. All these cars, they break down a lot. I've seen it all over the time. BMWs are always on the side of the road. Same with Mercedes. German cars, they just break down. They're not built to last. They're built to look good.
I was just on the road today and I saw a BMW. It was like a traffic jam, but he got back on the road, right? And he zoomed forward because he's a zoomer. And then when we were getting off the road, like at the exit, he had to get off again because his car broke down twice in the same day. So these things, like, it's not the brand, it's the quality that is behind it.
I mean,
if you can justify that amount of purchase that you're putting towards that brand, go for it. But there are many other options that you can justify the lower cost for how much quality is. You have to spend the dollar for the amount of quality. You have to get that root amount of price whenever you price something. So for example, when I go to the grocery store, what do I do when I go buy a piece of meat? I look at the price per pound. And if I'm getting more meat for the price that I pay for pound, then I'm going to buy that meat because it's more quantity and more quality, actually, because I get more out of it in the long run. I save money over time. That's quality to me. So when I think about a purchase, think about how much quality you are getting per dollar that you spend. And that will greatly increase the savings you have over time.
Yeah, definitely. Like, look for quality brands, the assets, like car art, different brands that are like clothing, that Patagonia. There's different brands with like, especially ones with like lifetime warranties and different things that are going to last you a super long time. And I would definitely even say, like, don't even buy the super, super cheap stuff because you're just going to end up rebuying it again, like stuff off Shein and Temu. That's going to last for a little bit and then it's going to rip, break, shrink. Buy those quality brands that they may be a little pricey or they may be just about right, like perfectly priced. But those are definitely better than buying something like, you know, Gucci, Versace, all these brands that are like super expensive, but you're really just paying to show like, hey, I'm supposedly rich. I have all this money. Look at me. I bought this.
Yeah. Another example of that is like printers. You can buy the cheapest printer ever and you think it's all good and such, and then you end up buying another one in the future because it's such a better printer. Why not just get the best printer now, and then over time that printer pays dividends and it goes into a asset category because you've printed so much out of it and it's stayed its value.
This kind of goes into budgeting, but learn in your life what you consider quality. Like, what are you going to cheap out on and what are you not? I know a lot of people don't cheap out on. Some people cheap out on like tech. Other people don't. Some people want an iPhone every time, and that's their quality. They love iPhones. Other people are going to cheap out on tech. They're going to pick cheaper Android, something that just makes the phone call like they need to. They don't care. It's going to do the job for them. It all depends on which one. Maybe instead of cheaping out, because you really spend a lot of money on tech, you cheap out on the clothes. You know, figure out ways to, Like, what's important to you? What do you want to spend your money on that is quality for you? It depends for every. Some people don't care what kind of clothes they wear. Some people do, you know, fine. And then maybe you don't care about what kind of phone you have, you know, just different things to equal out what you're going to have.
And does that match your values? Does that increase the value in the things that you value most? So, for example, if you are going into a computer design business, of course, get the most quality laptop that you can get, because that will further your growth in that industry. If you're in a real estate business, you have to look professional. You have to
have a nice suit.
You have to have a nice car. Of course, those things are important because you have to play the role, and the money that you spend now, those things are assets.
Invest in yourself, right? That's what we're saying. Invest in yourself. That will make you more successful. You know, don't invest in something that's going to give you nothing. It's like watering fake plants. It's not going to, nothing's going to grow for you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because if you water the fake plants, you're not going to get any value for yourself.
Going to stay the same all forever.
Stay the same forever. You're not going to increase the value in your job. You're not going to increase the value in your family life. Because finances are really tied to your family life. If you have no debt, if you're finance free, and you have all the things that you want in life, then your relationship with your wife and your kids are going to be much easier. You're going to have less strain in your life. You're going to have less problems. And I can definitely vouch for it that when my family is in good times, like when I was early on, it's hard for us to spend time together whenever we are separated. But now that we have so much time on the hands because we are financially stable and we have lots of free time, we can spend time and enjoy life. So getting that financial freedom should be your number one goal. If it's not, wake up, because this right here is urgent. Right now is a time that we need to take control of our finances, because if you don't take control of your finances in the next 10 years, you're not going to live a happy life for the rest of your life. Yeah. You're going to live in turmoil every single day.
Especially as like men, when we come into like, you need to be financially able to buy a house for you and your wife. And like, I know some people merge their accounts. I'm open to do that with Avery, but like financially, like be able to afford the wedding, and it needs to be affordable for y'all. Doesn't have to be like super extravagant, but be able to affordable. And just be able to prepare for the future as you're going to marry that person. Be able to take them still on dates. Be able to, you know, live a comfortable lifestyle, you know.
Right. And that means making sacrifices now.
Especially, like, once you, start making sacrifices now. If you make it easier on yourself now by starting investing, starting doing this, it'll definitely take a lot of that stress off of you later in life. Because we've all seen it with, like, family members or on TV. Like, when finances, you know, start to get tough, life gets very, very stressful, you know.
Yep. And in tough times, we that are not financially literate, we make the mistake of buying these liabilities and putting them over our needs, over assets. In those tough times, you need to make sacrifices. You need to cut those subscriptions. You need to cut all these unnecessary spendings. Maybe you grow out your hair, you don't get a haircut. Or maybe you go to the grocery market and you don't buy those sweets. You buy everything that you need, absolutely need, but you don't buy anything else. This money that you save each week, each month, will go into your bank account. And then this can be furthered by investments in stocks, in crypto, in bonds. These things here, these little things that you mistake early on, hurt you so much. If you just save that in your account, you will benefit in the long run.
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely would say, when I'm talking about, go with the tried and proven method. We say like mutual funds because it is tried and proven that they can make you money. There's things like crypto. I'm kind of skeptical about it. I know a lot of people are making money off crypto. I don't completely understand it. I'm doing the research, but I'm working on it. If it makes you money and it does all work out, that's awesome for you. Super happy for you. I'm not investing into it because I'm not super trustworthy, and maybe I'll regret that later in the future. But at the moment, I'm just skeptical. I'm working with what works, you know, and it's all about you. If you want to take the risks, you can. It's just all up to the individual, you know?
Yeah. You have to find the thing that you're most knowledgeable about. Don't go into things that you are.
Yeah. Don't go into anything like unknowing, you know. Do some research. I mean, that's again just part of not being lazy. Do the research of how am I gonna, is this gonna really make me money? How much money is it gonna make me? What's the big risk? What, you know, how much am I taking out of my own money to hopefully make more? You know, is it all gonna fail? What's the chance of failing? You know,
yeah. The last problem that we have is financial literacy. So how do you solve that problem when most of us, we don't come out of high school or college with knowing how to knowledge.
Unless you were brought up with like good financial literate parents that knew what they were doing. Now, in the area we grew up in, most people around here are pretty financial literate. But in poor areas, most of them, the less financial literacy people have. It's just part of it. So we look at these areas. The main thing I could say is that, like, start to be around successful people, right? Start to be around people who are making money, making it the right way, you know, finding more ways to make money, like I said, with the investments, with mutual funds, with companies that maybe they have a small business, maybe, you know, start finding ways. How are they figuring it out? You know, how have they started? How do they, you know, figure out their money and then start to put it into your life, you know?
Exactly. Hanging out with those people, ask the questions like, are they going to improve you in the finance? Are they very wealthy in a sense that they value the techniques to get there instead of showing their outward wealth? Because there's a difference between wealthy people. There's people that show that wealth, and there's people that
are very minimalistic, and they do the basics, but they make a ton of money without having to show everybody, oh, this is my fancy car, look at my clothes, it's all Gucci, you know, type stuff, you know.
And if you find those people, it's going to change your life because they know what they're doing. They know the discipline that it takes, because they don't spend money. Let's take Elon Musk. He doesn't spend any money that he doesn't think about. He thinks about every single penny that he spends every single day of his life. He wouldn't put anything into a miscellaneous clothing brand or a popular clothing brand that
he wears pretty regular suits. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but he looks like he's in the pretty most basic suit most of the time. Maybe a couple times. I'm sure he has some pretty nice suits, but most of the time, I think he's wearing pretty average clothes.
Yeah.
Same with like Mark Zuckerberg. We saw it with Steve Jobs when he would get on stage. They all wear kind of regular clothes, and I know that makes them more look like the average person, and there's some psychological reasons of why they do that to make it, you know, feel more regular and down to earth, but I mean, they wear pretty regular clothes on the daily, I'd probably say.
Yeah. And if you don't see those people in your life, what do we have today? We're in a digital society.
We have people like Dave Ramsey. I was telling my friend, Lucci right here, to watch Caleb Hammer, which where people get embarrassed on TV. But they, at least they get to know, like, hey, I'm doing this stuff wrong with my financial patterns, like my financial decisions. Like, they start to learn, right? So they actually, like, and you yourself can learn from their mistakes, right? So you watch the show. It's pretty funny and entertaining, in my opinion. You can learn some financial advice from that. They have their own, you know, programs to, like, help you through that, especially Dave Ramsey, Caleb Hammer. There's other people that can help you with all of this, of your, like, debt and setting up for the future, you know?
Exactly. And if you can't surround the people that are around you, you can always surround people around you on your phone.
Yeah, and that is people online too. There's Reddits, you know, Reddit posts, there's Discords, I'm sure, full of people that are all in the same boat as us, we're all just looking to become more wealthy, essentially. So
bounce ideas around, look at how other people online they recommend what to do. Like this today, if you have an excuse of not becoming wealthy, then you're doing yourself a disservice, because there are so many areas where you can become wealthy in the US. And this is the one thing that most people do not look at whenever they are in financial debt. There are so many ways out of it that you can focus on. And if you focus on those things to get out of it, you will become wealthy. If I go to this Discord website and it's for wealthy people of stock cryptocurrency, they have so many areas of growth to find.
Yeah, because so many sources of like different ways, different methods. Maybe not all of them work, but I'm sure there's some tried and true formulas that maybe do work for most people. And you kind of can follow a path, make your own different things, you know.
Yeah. Join a club, join a real estate society. Maybe if you're interested in anything in real estate, just join them and then see how you can bounce off their ideas and make it into truly something that creates value. Because that's really the thing. If you create value for the economy, you should have no trouble getting out of your debt. You should have no trouble of getting out of your bad spending habits, because you, if you focus on that value that you're creating for the economy, people will reward you for it. So let's say I have a specific service, a niche in car washing. People will reward me for that because I'm the best in the business. If I truly make a better product than anybody in the business and then make that product serviceable and more easy, then I will truly get something that is better in society.
I mean, for sure, yeah. Start doing side hustles, you know, make a small business while you have your main business on the side. Let's say, again, I work for Whataburger, and then I clean trash cans and I, you know, power wash people's concrete. So I have two businesses. I'm making extra money on the side, so that way I can have more income. So I'm the best power washer. I give discounts for my neighborhood, let's say. I'm making extra money. I'm advertising myself, put little signs out. You know, any way to make more money, so that way you're working harder, so that way you can relax more in a sense, right? Like, mentally, because you have enough money to get by.
Or you figure out, like, a solution for people to use AI, because that's so relevant today. So many people are using AI to improve the human experience. I use AI for all my questions in the medical field, because if I don't know a sentence in the medical field, I just put it into the AI. It will give me any explanation that I need.
I was gonna say, if you, maybe like for us, we need someone that can make us thumbnails. I'm using AI because I can't make a great thumbnail fast enough. I don't have the time at the moment. So if someone's out there that knows how to make thumbnails, we would love to help. But like that, we use the AI right now because it saves us time and we can make a really an okay looking thumbnail that we can get out to the YouTube side of our product.
Yeah. So just finding a niche and making it something that's very easy, maybe a thumbnail for us, and then making it easier for other people, that just creating that value in society, you're going to be rich in the future. You're going to be wealthy. And the thing is that most people, they spend 80% of their time thinking about spending.
Yeah.
And only 20% of it goes into, how do I further my career and how do I make more money in the future? How do I make a better life for my kids? If you spend 80% of your time, of your entertainment time, not watching miscellaneous YouTube videos, not watching the news, if you spend that time watching YouTube videos that improve the quality of your work, you'll be rich in no time.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is like, you don't see any average person get really rich off working for even like an Amazon worker, unless you're working up the corporate ladder. No, eventually you can, but like the average Amazon worker, you're stuck there. You could go up to there to managers, maybe regional manager, but that takes a lot of time. But if you had started a small business, you start growing it, you really put all your, start putting more ducks towards that small business, eventually you can be making, you know, two incomes, one about the same amount for each one. And then you have there, you're making $40, you know, for each, you know, I don't know, like 18 an hour for Amazon, and you're making another 18 an hour for your small business. So add them up, you're making $36 combined. And then for, let's say you're doing them on the same day and you're working similar hours, you know, you're making extra money, you're doubling your money. That's what we want to see, is people doubling their money, and it stops it. And let's say you already have debt, well, then you can pay it off. I know, like, you have to invest into your company, but it's a smart investment. We're talking about doing smart investments, so that way you can get out of that debt.
Yeah. And you might say that it's very time intensive, and you're afraid that you'll fail. These two things take the many people out of this small business concept.
You have to be willing to fail, willing to get up and do it again and do it again.
Yeah, and just start it. Like, you will fail at sometimes. You will get to that roadblock, but if you put in more hours, if you find that you are in the business and you are in that problem, you will find a solution out of it, because this concept of getting into that problem and getting out of it is such a deep thing if you're invested in it. And if you spend the hours and that work time, of course, it's going to play out in the future. But if you're in a family, then you can't really take that time off for a small business, because then you have more obligations to your kids and your wife. So I'd even say right now, if you're young in your 20s, Do it now. Start that small business. Start a new concept that creates value for the economy and work hard to get that idea out there before you start a family so that you can reap the rewards later and not worry about, is this small business, is this thing going to separate me from my family and then I can't spend time with my kids? Do it early so that you don't have to worry about that.
I mean, yeah, and that's what we're doing kind of here with this podcast. Even like we started this to eventually maybe create some value. I mean, it was for my portfolio, but over time we invest, we make money. I'm with someone who is financially smart like Lucci, who knows what he's doing, and like we both want the best for this, and we both are growing in our own futures. We're not going in debt. We're at crazy debt. I know we all can buy new cars and different things, but you know we're working hard to stay out of debt and to better ourselves every day. So finding good people that are also in the same scene as you is trying to grow, better themselves, grow up in our world, you know, that's what we're saying, basically. Yeah. It's like, grow, just grow, 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 and like, start watering real plants, stop watering the fake ones.
Yeah. Every day, what can you improve? What can you improve on the product that you're creating? What can you improve on yourself that you're really creating? Because if you take those mental skills and you improve on them every single day. Let's take, for example, the resilience not to buy impulse things. So not to impulse buy, that's a skill. If you develop that every day, like if you analyze yourself in that moment when you try to impulse buy and you say, what am I really doing here? Am I buying something that will create value in the future? And if you say no, that's good. And in that moment, you keep on doing that. That's a skill over time and you develop that. Another skill is spending dollar for value. If you spend that dollar, if you truly think about, are you giving the value out of that product for the amount of that you're spending for it? If you think about that before each decision, that's another skill and you develop that over time. Third thing is making new ideas and creating value for yourself. If you are really innovative and you think about things that will improve your product over time, that is a skill. Innovation is not something that's tied to a few individuals in society. Yeah. You have to work on it. You have to put time into innovation so that you can get out of it new ideas that improve yourself. So if you improve yourself in these skills over time, you will become mentally wealthy. And if you become mentally wealthy, you will become monetarily wealthy.
And you won't have to worry about debt. You won't have to worry about emergencies because you'll have the money saved up or you'll already be saved. I mean, I'm not saying you have to worry about emergencies. I'm sorry. But, like, you know, you'll be more prepared, you know, ready for that situation. You already have the funds to go through with that emergency that you're having.
Yeah. And you told me the story earlier about that.
The homeless guy?
Yeah.
So I'll go through the story, right? It's real quick. There's a homeless guy, you can look him up. He had an amazing voice for like radios and advertisements. Somebody recorded him. He got up, he got seen. These companies wanted him. He got paid a lot of money, like really good money. He got all his money, but he had a drug problem. Well, nobody helped him with that drug problem. He spent all that money on like more drugs. But if he had gotten that financial help and at first got that drug problem figured out, maybe got some rehab, had the right people around him. Again, that's what matters. You have the right people that can help you with this stuff. Then eventually said, okay, I'm going to invest in my financial education, get better, save up, invest this money. He could be a well-off. We could know this voice actor for all of our commercials, all of our radios, but he went right back to where he started. He just didn't have that right group around him to help him be successful. He went right back to what he was addicted to, those drugs. And so today I've heard from the TikTok story that he's back just on the streets. He doesn't have any money again. He's back, but he at a time had so much. And it's sad, but like if he had had, I put a comment on that TikTok. I said, man, imagine he had had that financial literacy, got over like 2,000 likes because everyone saw, like if he had had some financial knowledge, maybe he would have still had a ton of money left. And it's just sad to see, to be honest. I know I'm saying that a lot, but it really is to me. Like when you get that blessing of all that money from these companies and then it all goes down the drain because he didn't have the know-how of how to make more of it, like how to save it, how to invest it, kind of deal.
Yeah. It's not the talent. It's the discipline. It's the mind. if you can truly master your mind, master your desires, master the laziness inside of you, you can truly manage your finances and become spiritually wealthy and monetarily wealthy. Monetary wealth is, it's temporary. It will always go away if you don't have the spiritual wealth. You can't have monetary wealth without spiritual wealth. If you have spiritual wealth, you'll always have monetary wealth. Spiritual wealth is a much more tough thing to manage because you have to put so much work into yourself to get to the point where you can confidently say, I can manage these millions of dollars without me taking advantage of that $1 million, without me spending that $1 million, without me throwing that $1 million down the drain. It takes a very, very disciplined man to keep $1 million and make it into 10 million. It takes anybody, any average person to take $1 million and throw it down the toilet. So if that's the tipping point, then that is it. You can become the most disciplined person that you can be, improve yourself every day, or you can become the most lazy person and not realize things, and you don't have a sense of urgency in your finances. You are really just putting the finances into fate's hands, and you're doing things at the will of your desires. And your desires are really the things that will put you in the toilet, because the human laziness is the one thing that, if we solved it, everybody would be a millionaire. Everybody would be making bank, and everybody would have a happy life. Yeah. But laziness right now is the one thing that keeps us all in the ruts. And if we can manage that laziness, everybody will be in that position that they want to
be. Yeah, we would all be very well off, you know, if we could manage our laziness, learned how to be financially educated, not spend it impulse buys, learn to do a lot more things ourselves, you know. And it's just, again, it's part of who we are as people. We are lazy, and I'm not saying we're all gonna be perfect through this financial our lifetime. Everybody goes through struggles, we make mistakes, but it's better to be more educated so we make less of those mistakes in the future. And talking about mistakes, I think there's a huge one. I've seen it on Gen Z. There are people out there on TikTok saying, oh, don't pay off your debts, like, it's fine, or I don't care about my debts, I'm going to just let it grow. Do not listen to those people. Do not become one of those people. Like we said way in the beginning of the video, and I'm just kind of harping on this, that will haunt you. You will be a slave to debt forever, like we said, and I really just want to get that back on point. Like, do not listen to those people who are not paying off their debts. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So just wanted to get that out there. But I've seen videos on TikTok, people like, oh, I'm not going to pay my debts, or I'm going to be in debt forever, why should I pay it off? You don't want that nightmare. It will haunt you till you die. So please don't do that to yourself. Coming from me, like, I don't wish that on anybody to work for the rest of their life because they weren't financially responsible and put themselves in that situation. You don't want to be, and I'm not trying to be calling people out, you don't want to be sitting there at Walmart at 80 years old greeting people. You would rather be at home enjoying time with your grandkids.
And that is almost a wrap for this episode. And what we asked this question at the end of our episode: why is this topic of financial literacy so important?
For me, it's important because I have family members, I know people that are financially struggling in our economy and have been financially struggling for a long time, and I want people to not struggle like the people that I know that are struggling, like with some of my family members or some of my friends that are having a really hard time. And because they made bad financial decisions, they're in massive debt, they didn't invest correctly, they didn't save up at all, they had these financial emergency problems happen to them, but they didn't have any money, you know. They moved a ton, so they just spent money all over the place. They don't save any of it. Like, I just don't want that to happen to other people, and I'd rather get the word out, give advice, get people thinking about their financial future so that way this doesn't happen to them, or maybe that it just gets in their mind. I just wish this could be in people's minds, because I don't want to see people on the streets, people being homeless. You know, we want to see everybody in the United States succeed, have that American dream, have a house, have kids, have nice cars, you know, live a good life here in America.
Yeah, you only have one life. Live it. Creating value for the world. This episode is really about that. You saw what Alex said. It's all these negative things that could happen in your life. If you truly create value for self, make sure that you improve yourself every day and make innovative ideas that improve this world. Because what are you going for in the end? Are you really going for that money? Are you really going for that fame? Are you really going for that top job? If that is truly what your goal is in life, then by all means do it. But you know that you're not leaving this world in a better impact. But if you truly want to create value for this world and make it into a better society, finances will come to you so easily, because the world will bless you with something that you have never seen before. That's the one thing that I've seen with all these billionaires. What did they do? They made something that was a blessing to the world. And if you are truly a blessing to the world, then people will reward you. So make that one of your goals, and make that something that you reflect on each night. Are my decisions each night something that become better for me in the long run? And is that going to benefit you, Alex?
Yeah.
Is that going to benefit my parents? Is that going to benefit
your future kids?
Future kids. So something like that. Just have that in your mind. And yeah, don't be too hard on yourself either. I mean, this finances is very...
Everybody makes mistakes kind of thing. Yeah. We all sometimes spend stuff. We all make bad financial... Sometimes we buy stuff we didn't mean... We were just too hyped up in the moment we bought something. It happens to everybody.
Yeah.
So don't, you know... I mean, we're not... Again, we're not perfect people either. We are going to make mistakes. We're just trying to get out this information to more people so less people make mistakes, basically. We all know it could happen to us.
Yeah.
But... The really more educated you are, the less mistakes you're likely to make.
Yeah. Really analyzing your decisions after you make them really helps, because I made so many bad decisions on spending. Some, like, about 2 years ago, I would buy all these sweets in the store because I loved sweets back then. Like, it was something that always had to be on my Friday night dessert, and I bought them so many times. Just analyzing, is that going to be good for my body? Is that going to be good for my bank account? Is that going to be good for my future? Is that improving myself for the future? Just analyzing those types of things, I really think is something that everybody should do, and something, even if it's so small, like, am I giving this tip to a restaurant? And is this really doing good for that restaurant? Is that really doing something good? Or something as big as it should be more important as a big house, something like that. So just analyzing spending after would really optimize spending for the future. But that is a wrap for this episode. Please check out our other YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcast pages. And please, if you like this episode, please give it a like on YouTube and subscribe to our page. Make this possible for us and others. Please, thank you so much for listening to this.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I know this video will get posted way before TikTok gets banned, but Lord, please not ban TikTok right now. It's our best platform, so please don't ban it. Like, find a way to make it not be banned. And we're super sorry about how long these videos have been becoming. Our videos probably will start to be around that hour-long mark, so if you don't like that, we're sorry. Take a break, pause the video, come back to us, finish it off. You know, we really put a lot of effort into these videos, and we know that's why they're becoming a little bit longer. We'll definitely try to work on maybe shortening a little bit. This one just went a little bit overboard, but we really appreciate all of you who have made it here to the end. This is the Sights On Podcast with Alex and Lucci. Sights On.
Signing off.